Save big on home updates at Menards. Transform your floors and walls with stylish Mohawk porcelain tile. 12 by 24 inch urban forged tiles combine a bold modern look with the timeless beauty of natural stone for a stunning result. Plus, they feature StepSure, an advanced slip-resistant technology providing safety without compromising style. Save big money on Mohawk porcelain tile. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
With the second pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State.
Plenty of time for Stroud. Directing receivers, flips it to the end zone. Touchdown! Marvin Harrison Jr.
I come from nothing, so I'm blessed to be on this stage. And to that little boy, that little girl out there, man, but you can do anything you put your mind to.
Houston's going to move in to number three and have its pick of the top defensive player in the draft.
With the third pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Will Anderson Jr., linebacker, Alabama.
How many number 31s is there on the side?
One is enough.
Malik Davis got dropped for a loss.
Jeez, number one.
How many number 31s are there?
Thank you for this opportunity. You won't regret it. I'm going to go out and work my butt off every day. Stay tuned to who I am.
It's football time in Houston. And we're ready to play.
Rock and roll!
You should be happy, too. The Texans got C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, and yeah, they traded a lot to get Will Anderson, but good God, if you're bitching and moaning about that, I just think you're never going to be happy with anything in life. You were down bad, doesn't matter, got lucky, and yeah, you don't know what's going to happen next. You're lying in bed. You're looking up at the ceiling. Is this going to be a more than one-time thing? Yeah, maybe you technically paid to get lucky. Technically, you paid a lot to get lucky. Maybe you're regretting that as you look up. But doesn't matter. Got lucky. As said by T-Pain and the Lonely Island.
I think that was Akon and the Lonely Island.
Same thing.
Ouch.
Music is all the same to me, Sean. You know this. I mean,
T-Pain was T-Pain and Lonely Island was I'm on a boat.
Akon, oh,
which.
Damn.
I'm not proud of this information. The fact that this is in my
brain. Lonely Island's a great band.
No, but, I mean, knowing the difference between those two songs is not something I need to have up here. I could know so much more. I could know who's going to be a good quarterback in this year's NFL draft. I could know why. Will Levis is apparently not going to be one.
Here's the thing. No one knows. No one bleeping knows. No one knows about anything.
And no one knows about Akon on the I Just Got Lucky or whatever.
Right. No one knows anything, and you don't know where this road is going to go, but it's a road that's a lot more fun. You feel a lot better about this walk of shame after breaking the slump, okay? Where it goes from here, I don't know, but good God, give it like 72 hours. Some of you people are miserable. We got to play Jeremy's take. So we're doing the draft show last night. It's John Granato and Jeremy Branham, and they brought me on for the very last segment before Patrick Creighton and I went from 9 to 11. Patrick and I had a blast. I had a lot of fun out at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage on the Southwest Freeway. There's three locations, by the way. Fantastic spot. Really good interior. I had the brisket tacos. They were good. One of those big goblet frozen margaritas. Wonderful. Anyway, back to this. This is what Jeremy Branham had to say right before signing off the air and then going on Twitter and crying.
I applaud Bravado. I applaud Courage. Do I like the trade? No. Do I think C.J. Stroud was the second-best quarterback? No. Do I applaud them for being courageous and making this a relevant NFL organization? 100% yes, absolutely. I hope they're right and I'm wrong. They should be the ones that are right, and I should be the one that is wrong. So if they're right, we'll look back at this in 5 years and say, wow, what a job by Caserio. But if this fails, This might be the worst day in Houston, Texas history.
Oh, man. Don't
and
say
this will live in infamy.
No, don't say this. It's
possible.
At the Pearl Harbor.
It's in play.
Like the Pearl Harbor reference, everybody. Always, you know, foisting some World War II references on everybody. Some like Tony Soprano just watching World War II in color for the 18th time on Netflix. Worst day in Texans franchise history. No, it's the day Deshaun Watson asked out. And then followed by the day where Deshaun Watson was found to have done a lot of sexual misconduct, allegedly, followed by the Letterman jacket game.
Okay. I was wondering what the first non-Deshaun Watson was.
There's so many bad moments. The idea that trading up for number three to get Will Anderson after taking C.J. Stroud. I'm sorry. And Jeremy
said it could. He said it could.
Jeremy's entirely too confident in his opinion on Will Levis. No one should be this confident about any quarterback coming out of the draft. You shouldn't. You shouldn't. I like Bryce Young a lot. He's short. Doesn't have the strongest arm. I like C.J. Stroud conceptually. Size, arm strength, mobility. The S2 thing is a little bit alarming. Anthony Richardson can throw a ball and hit a ceiling. Can run faster than many wide receivers. But he's very raw and he had a 55% completion percentage last year. Will Levis has been compared to guys like Josh Allen. Will Levis has been compared to guys like Carson Wentz. No one knows when it comes to quarterbacks. No one should be confident when it comes to quarterbacks. I'm sorry. I don't buy into the idea either that anyone that's hosting a sports talk show where they are covering many subjects is going to be a definitive expert in the draft unless they are literally, as a main profession, in the case of Lance Zierlein, an actual scout. Sorry. Just don't buy into the confidence. And I think the idea that giving up the 33rd pick and on top of that, a first-round pick next year plus a third to move up as being this absolutely cataclysmic event and way too expensive, a stupid splurge purchase, buying a car that you're never going to drive and you can't afford the insurance on. That's just not the case. They like Will Anderson a lot. They got Will Anderson. They like C.J. Stroud, it seems. Of all the quarterbacks in this year's draft, they got C.J. Stroud. All that matters going forward is what they do in the third. These pick hoarder people, I do not like you. I just don't. You need to have as many picks as possible. It helps. It does help to have guys at cost control, but you have to find players. And if you feel really good about a player, go get him. Sorry, if Matt Miller of wherever the hell he works now or some of these other NFL draft experts are like, oh, that's too much to trade up. Like, who cares? Be confident. Operate with conviction. Who cares what these people think? If you like a guy, get him. As opposed to saying, well, I'm just going to sit here and patiently twiddle my thumbs hoping to get somebody. You know what happens when you do that? Go back to the draft where the Texans were about to take Tyler Lockett, the Seahawks traded up in front, and they got Tyler Lockett, and you ended up with Jalen Strong. Like, these are things that can happen to you if you sit and you wait. They didn't sit and wait. They have sat and waited a lot in the past. They have. It's cost them. So, look, I'm not telling you to have faith in the Texans, but you should be excited, and you shouldn't be bitching and moaning about a couple of draft picks to move up in the draft. You shouldn't. I just don't understand it. I mean, right now, you have a tangible reason to actually care about this team. Temporarily, of course, we'll see what happens this coming year. You shouldn't expect them to compete, but that division isn't very good. You should be more excited going forward. And like the sense that I got from Jeremy, he's not. I saw Joel tweet essentially the same thing. There's too much to trade up. And okay, I'm sure that noon to three, they'll have some interesting points as to why they're not a fan of the trade up. But I just do not for the life of me get it. I really do not. 713-780-3776 to call. To text on the HRNP listener line, you can tweet us as well. Akalon says, join us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Mr. Brostash, I think, is a very adept breakdown of what happened on twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. On paper, it looks like they gave up a haul for Will Anderson Jr., but in reality, it was for Stroud. Stroud had to go number two to eliminate all the competition so that they wouldn't have as much teams coming for Anderson. It probably did drive the price down.
A little. Yeah, it probably, I mean, because you didn't have teams trading up to number three to take CJ Stroud. They would have been competing with teams that wanted to trade up to get Will Anderson, so the price would be lower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was a little bit lower.
And if you believe that, you know, Caserio and D'Amico wanted Will Anderson, they didn't love the quarterback, and Cal said get a quarterback, then you are they did just do the trade for the quarterback. They just flipped the picks.
Right. And here's the other thing too. If you got into that bidding war, the Colts supposedly liked C.J. Stroud. They supposedly liked him. So you blocked the Colts from getting the guy that they wanted. Richardson to the Colts seems like a shoot from the hip Jim Irsay endorsed move. It does.
Hell yeah.
And I know that Chris Ballard's the one running the show there, but I feel like Anthony Richardson is a consolation prize for the Indianapolis Colts. I think that they wanted Stroud. And guess what? You blocked them from getting Stroud.
Oh, no. At the press conference, they said that he was the number one guy on their board. What?
You have to, and that's the other thing, too. You know, breaking down the press conferences afterwards.
They loved who they got. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Look, I like Richardson conceptually.
Yeah.
And maybe that would have been the better pick. This is the guy we're going to be comparing C.J. Stroud to for years. Not Bryce Young. To Richardson. We will. Here in Houston. Just like with Will Anderson, we will be comparing him to Lucas Van Ness with the Packers. We'll be comparing him to Tyree Wilson now with the Las Vegas Raiders. Tyree Wilson, by the way, the drip. Ryan's got a thought. 713-780-3776. Ryan!
Hey, what's going on, Pauly?
Yo.
Hey, so two things. How many Coors Lights did Johnny G have last night?
One. Yeah, I'd say like five, but it was a subtle five.
He seemed a little lit on the radio, but it was okay.
I didn't sense it, because that man can carry his liquor. And I resent you for saying that, Ryan. Don't say that about John's liquor-taking down ability. He's my idol.
Can we go ahead and say this is the start of not embracing the suck anymore? Because I'm tired of sucking.
I agree, Ryan. And no one should have ever embraced the suck. That is for the show after me, which, yes, I basically called them losers today. Embracing the suck is for losers. And it's funny, like, they use all the draft picks that they got for Big Ben. Oh, no, they're paying. They're using them to get what they want. I want them to use it to get what I want. Like, I'm sorry. You could have had Lucas Van Ness. Stop acting like you knew Lucas Van Ness was going to be good. Like, stop. Just stop with that. You don't know. You have no idea. Let them do what they're going to do. God, everyone's a draft expert now. Shut the bleep up.
It's time to reject the suck.
Yes, you never should have embraced the suck.
I'm looking at opposites for embrace. Exclude the suck.
You should punt the suck in the nads. That's what you should do. God.
Stop the suck.
It's just embarrassing. Embarrassing that as a city we've come to this. It is. Daddy's home, okay? Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Fun facts about C.J. Stroud and about Will Anderson. Plus, other things that happened in the draft that were noteworthy last night. Paul Galancho, don't go anywhere.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
Locked in with the Paul Galancho on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Really productive player. We had him in the building for a visit. He's, I would say, as competitive a player. Has an edge about him in a good way. Loves football. Wants to compete. Wants to be great. Good size. Comes from a good program. Ryan does a great job, with the program down there at Ohio State or up there at Ohio State. Certainly with the quarterback as well. CJ's been a productive player. He's been an accurate player. Certainly has a long way to go. I think he'll admit that.
I was wondering if Caserio talking about CJ Stroud would potentially be something that sounds exactly the same as Caserio talking about Will Anderson. And what's funny there is, unfortunately, Caserio mentioned Ohio State. But up to that point, I bet it was pretty similar. So, Sean, let's do a little comparison here. Nick Caserio talking about a guy he just drafted. That was C.J. Stroud. This is his thoughts on Will Anderson.
can't say enough good things about Will, just the person that he is, the human being that he is, his leadership. And unsolicited, you know, before the draft, you know, we received just commentary about, you know, just the praise was just incredible.
Damn, actually, there's a pretty big difference. Will Anderson sounds like Jesus Christ himself.
I wonder who's the guy ownership pushed for.
Jalen Carter.
The guy who has a lot of stuff to work on at the end of the
Carter.
Who's from Ohio State. And honestly, Ryan Day got more praise than C.J. Stroud in the C.J. Stroud praise clip.
That didn't sound great.
Yeah, but he has a lot of stuff to work on. C.J. Stroud would also tell you that. But Will Anderson, man. Will Anderson should run for president.
Will Anderson walked across water and fed a mass of starving people fish and wine. It was incredible.
And we're excited equally to have both of them.
Yes.
Again, CJ Stroud, who bad reaction time, has stuff to work on.
S2 test.
Bad test taker.
Idiot. Hates tests. Dumb.
From California.
Liberal. We'll see where all of this goes. I'm happy. It does seem like the Texans are very happy, but I do think it's not a reach to say that they might have been more excited about Will Anderson than they might have been C.J. Stroud. And that was before playing that audio.
My question is that if the Texans just had the number one pick, if they just lost against Indianapolis, if they don't convert a 4th-and-20, if a ball doesn't go through an Indianapolis player's hands, do they still trade up for Will Anderson? Do they pick Bryce Young and still trade up for Will Anderson?
Well, I think they would have had the opportunity to because Arizona didn't want to use the number three pick.
Yeah, and Chicago would have probably still wanted to trade down from pick two.
Chicago might have made it tricky because I think Chicago would have thought about maybe Will Anderson or one of the top defenders in the draft. But the Jalen Carter situation did help the Texans out a little bit. It definitely drove the market down for the top couple of picks, I think. Because if Carter had maybe not had the offseason track record that he had, I don't know. The Eagles took him. Let's talk about some of the other things that happened in the draft. Damn it, Philadelphia. Holy crap. I mean, all the Georgia defenders, they had Jordan Davis and who's that guy they got in the third round last year?
N'Kobe Dean.
Right. And this year, okay, not only do they get Jalen Carter, who was thought by many to be the number one overall prospect, but they also got
Nolan Smith.
Nolan Smith, who was like a top. Yes, Nolan Smith is like basically the second coming of Hassan Reddick, who they already have. Best case scenario, maybe Micah Parsons, if he packs on a little bit of weight, like a guy you can use in every single way. Damn, Philadelphia.
Yeah, they get the number one prospect with some off-the-field question marks, which, by the way, if like the Texans, if the Falcons, if the Bengals, if certain teams drafted Jalen Carter, we've just been like, ugh, I'm not sure about that. He's gonna whatever, mess himself up out of the league. If the Raiders would have picked him, God.
In Philadelphia.
And then Philly gets him, you're like, probably will work out. Smart front office.
Sean, there's literally other defensive linemen that can beat him up if he gets out of line. Because the Eagles have a million good defensive linemen.
Yeah, and they're all from Georgia. That is one thing where people are like, yeah, so they're recreating the Georgia locker room in Philly. And I'm like, well, isn't that where he had all the problems? Was that Georgia? Maybe want some different guys around him. But I understand in principle what they're saying. Also, Fletcher Cox there. Fletcher Cox is the guy who will beat up Jalen Carter.
That was such a loaded depth chart that they had on the defensive line last year. I think Brandon Graham's back. Ndamukong Suh was there last year.
Name any other team in the league that aren't the Texans that we can name like six of their defensive linemen.
Sad thing is, if you're the Texans, could I have one of those guys? Just one. Like the worst one. Like because that's how bad your defensive line
please,
is.
Please, you're holding your hands out.
Yeah. And look, that's going to be tricky for them to fill the void because it is legitimately a void on the defensive line. Some of the other big moves that happened in the NFL yesterday, specifically in the AFC South, the Colts got Anthony Richardson. The Titans took Northwestern tackle Peter Skoronski. That is such a Midwestern tackle name. That's a sign they're not looking to compete this year either.
Surprised they didn't go to the Bears. That would have just been...
I know. A Northwestern Bear.
Midwest. Yeah, it doesn't even have to move.
The Jaguars took Oklahoma tackle Anton Harrison, 27th. They traded down a couple of times to do it.
It was announced yesterday that Cam Robinson, their starting left tackle, is facing a PED suspension, but supposedly this pick was unrelated. Obviously, they want to protect Trevor Lawrence. They traded back twice, so they probably felt pretty good about their ability to get him. Bijan Robinson of Texas went eighth overall to Atlanta. I feel bad for him. It just feels like Atlanta is a place where it's not going to work out. But
he'll run for a bunch of yards, but like, because they. That's why people didn't like the Atlanta pick, is that they already had one of the best running games in
yes,
the league.
Yes, you had Cordarrelle Patterson and Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah. And
so I don't get that one.
It's a very Madden pick. It's a very, like...
I don't think it's even a Madden pick. That's a NCAA football, I'm running the triple option pick.
Well, it's a, like, or I guess their track record the last 3 years has been get giant dude Kyle Pitts, get giant wide receiver Drake London, and didn't get the best running back in the draft the last couple of years.
If Desmond Ridder can make it work with those guys, then, I mean, good.
He better. But, if he can't make it work with those guys.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say there. If he can't make it work with those guys, then yikes. Then they're going to have to
somebody else. Well, they also have Heinicke back there. So.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Playoffs?
The Cowboys took a defensive tackle, and we laughed at this pick in the moment.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't know who he was.
Not a big Mozzie Smith guy?
It's Mozzie? It's not Mazai? I don't know.
No, I know it's Mozzie because at first I thought Roger Goodell said Ozzie Smith, the old shortstop for the Cardinals.
Hell yeah. I was like, the guy was doing flips all the time.
Yeah, I was like, isn't he like 70 now? No, it's Mozzie Smith.
He was very small too, Ozzie Smith.
Undersized.
Wouldn't have been able to play on the defensive line at Michigan. I think that they wanted Dalton Kincaid. I think that they thought that Utah tight end Dalton Kincaid would have been available, and the Bills jumped in front of them to get him because the Bills probably knew. So they get a defensive tackle. The thing that I think is unfortunate if you're a Cowboys fan is you were expecting them to, I think, get a real difference maker offensively. But now you're going into next year, and the offense is exactly the same. Hopefully healthier. But Tony Pollard's, I mean, is he going to be ready to go right away? There's no Ezekiel Elliott. Dalton Schultz is gone. All right. Is Michael Gallup going to be healthy for a full season?
Yeah.
Is CeeDee Lamb a number one? Is Dak Prescott going to be better? Is Mike McCarthy good at offense? Like, it's now that Kellen Moore's gone, was that really the big problem? Like, I think if you're Dallas, you're pretty disappointed walking away from last night.
Yeah. I guess their hope is, let me see where their picks are, but I guess the hope is that they can get. I mean, you can get like a third round running back to be the backup. Yeah, they have their
second
and third.
But you're not expecting it either. It's a weird place to be in, and I don't know how they are better next year. I don't. I think that they're probably going to be like 12-5 and going into the playoffs.
Well, Mike McCarthy's gonna call plays, so that's how they get better.
Yeah, like that doesn't make you feel better.
What?
It doesn't.
He said they're gonna establish the run.
I mean, their defense is good. Their defense played well against San Francisco. The defense wasn't the reason they lost. It was the offense. The offense couldn't do a damn thing in that game. Will Levis, by the way, in last night's draft, not selected. He looks a lot like Andrew Carlson. Andrew Carlson, who's the producer of The Wheelhouse. And he seemed to have a harem, which turns out he didn't. But my gut reaction, what? Sean's laughing. He seemed to have a harem.
That was your gut reaction.
Well, because there's someone sitting
national
next
to TV.
There's someone sitting next to him, the two attractive women sitting next to him. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? Because they both seem very. And then all of a sudden, like the next time we see Will Levis waiting to get picked, there's this brunette that's like sitting on his lap. So obviously, you find out. Oh, okay. The two blondes are probably his sisters and.
One is probably his mom.
One was definitely his mom. But there was a moment where I'm like, what's going on with Will Levis? People felt bad for Will Levis. I was like, Will Levis seems like a badass right now. He and Lucas Van Ness. Lucas Van Ness seems like he's come from the right kind of Iowa stock. Am I right? Like, I don't know. He also like looks as as Gen Z Iowa as it gets.
He really does.
He looks like a corn-fed Iowan, but the hair was just so bussin'. On God, for real. Really was.
That's my favorite part about the draft is, like, the family shot. Like, I would never go. I would never be Will Levis. I would never go to the draft.
Wouldn't go.
No. God, no. What? I want to go to Kansas City and shake hands with Roger Goodell.
What about the barbecue?
I'd rather chill at my house.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair.
You can have all the same people around you just at your house instead of Kansas City. No offense to Kansas City or Detroit where the draft is next year, but come on.
By the way, with Lucas Van Ness being picked, did you see his friend who just jumped on his lap, essentially?
I thought that was his little brother.
Was that his little brother?
He looked
that makes sense.
Small, but...
That would make sense.
Either way.
It would have been pretty funny if it was just some friend who did that. He's like, yeah, I'm viral forever. Gen Z.
The Van Ness family looked like a fun time.
They did. They did look like a fun time. And that's the way the cookie crumbles. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. The Houston Texans took C.J. Stroud with pick two, traded up to pick three to take Will Anderson. Was it too expensive to trade up and get Anderson? Is Stroud the right guy? All that on the table for you next. It's the Paul Galacho.
This is ESPN 97.5. Most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
713-780-3776 to call to text on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Let's go to Thomas on the Paul Gallant Show. Thomas, what's up?
Oh, not much. How are you guys?
I'm all right. I'm pretty happy about what the Texans did last night. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Okay, so my take on why Stroud first and then Anderson is that 3 years down the road, this trade is going to be tied to Anderson, and it's going to be easier to justify because, you know, quarterbacks miss all the time. And if this trade is tied to C.J. Stroud, that's just ugly.
I think I get where you're going here, Thomas, and appreciate the phone call.
Just the idea that you're going to look back and be like, well, at least they got Will Anderson, who is more likely, like any defensive end that goes in the top three is more likely to work out than a quarterback.
Just
because quarterbacks are going to be 50-50 at best, where if you're that good at defensive end, you're a little bit safer of a pick.
I don't know that I buy that, but I guess as far as just from the way that a quarterback can submarine an organization for years. Okay, sure. I can get with that. I really do think it's the entire thing's a crapshoot, and there's not necessarily one position that is safer than others outside of running back, but you're not supposed to take a running back in the top 15. Tell the Detroit Lions that. That's probably, of all the picks that were made last night, the one that everyone thought was the worst.
So Jahmyr Gibbs was the, at 12. 12 was the second highest running back has been drafted the last three drafts behind Bijan Robinson, who was picked number 8. So two running backs this year went before any running backs did the last like 3 or 4 drafts.
Saquon Barkley, I think, was the earliest pick.
Yeah,
2018. Right.
Yeah.
And I like the Bijan pick. The Gibbs one, and it's kind of unfortunate because all Alabama running backs, they've produced so many good ones over the last couple of years, but you're looking at him and you're like, really? Kamara comparisons. Also, the Lions probably need a quarterback. Maybe they were hoping Anthony Richardson would fall to them. Honestly, Jared Goff, there are some limitations. He did have a good season last season statistically, but we all know there's a certain point where you're not going to get more. I think the Lions probably believe they can do better, but they showed him a little bit of faith going into this year. I think it was agreed upon by most that follow them that they weren't even going to try to go after a quarterback during this year's draft. So there we go. 713-780-3776. We've got Austin on the Paul Gallant Show. Austin, what's up?
Hey, Paul. Hope you're doing all right, man. So my take on it is obviously, like, the players are good, right? I don't think anyone's upset. I think it's everything that kind of happened after that trade. I think it's us finding out that it's our first-round pick, not the Cleveland Browns' first-round pick. And it's also with two other factors that are affecting it. One, being the Cardinals, feeling like we got fleeced by the Cardinals again, right? That's what it feels like. You know, they fleeced us out of the Hopkins trade. What is happening all over again? It's like they got Caserio's, not Caserio, but they got the second number and everything when it comes to trade. We always seem like we're just not getting the better side of it, or it feel like it's not equal, right? I think the other issue is also it's what the Cardinals gave up to go back up to 6. So, I mean, we give up
a one, a three, a first round, a third round next year, a second round this year, right? And I know we also got a fourth out of it, but I'm not going to really consider that. But again, what we gave up to go up to three, I get it, we're going up higher. But for them to still jump a pretty decent amount back into the top 10, they only gave up a second, and it's not even our second, it's their second round pick. So it just feels like, I don't know, that's what I think it comes off of. It's just why it feels like it's kind of a negative.
I get what you're saying. It does feel like you paid more, and obviously the Cardinals make it hit home a little bit more. I would just look at it from this perspective, though. There's no agreed upon like market price for, you know, trading up a specific amount of picks in the draft. And the Cardinals knew that they had a pretty good spot where they were sitting. And the Texans probably gave up less to get Will Anderson than they would have to get CJ Stroud at that number three spot. So with all that being said, I don't look at this trade and look at it as a failure like a lot of people are. You want to get your guy, you're going to have to give up a lot of picks. And you can't look at it as, oh, well, it should have been this, because you're going to give yourself like a migraine if you're trying to do the math as far as like the amount of points to trade up from one spot to the next.
Also, all it takes is one team to be like, we'll do the points plus five. Five more points, and then you go 10 more points, and then you're not following the chart anymore.
And you might have been in a bidding war too with Arizona in that spot,
or now with Arizona,
with Indianapolis, right? Like, so there's all sorts of tricky stuff that, if you really want to go galaxy brain on why a trade happened and the cost of a trade, you're never going to stop thinking about all the possibilities. So I'm sort of the mindset of, look, you got to pay if you want to go from 12 to 3, you got to give up your things that you don't want to give up.
Got to pay the troll toll.
Got to pay the troll toll. First round pick 33. And, you know, you do the pick swap as well. And you give up another third round pick. It's a pretty hefty price. And Anderson's got to work. One last call. This segment. Jason's in Baytown on the Most Interactive Sports Talk Show in Houston. Jason, what's up?
First off, love the show. Listen every day. And the only thing that I'm going to really say is, honestly, I like what they did, but in a couple years, when it comes to making a decision on when these people or when these athletes get paid, they're going to have a tough decision.
You ain't kidding on that. You ain't kidding on that, Jason. Those are both going to be guys looking for north of $100 million a couple of years down the road. But you can't look at it that way. You got to think about the now.
Also, just what a great problem to have. The Texans having too many good players.
Right. Look, they're not paying anyone right now, except for Laremy Tunsil. That's literally it. Like, they have so much cap space at this point in time. The amount of people focusing on problems well down the road, like, what are you going to do in the 2024 draft? That's not how any NFL organization operates. They are focusing on legitimately right now. They're focusing on this draft. When you're in the draft, you're not thinking about, well, Caleb Williams next year. You're not, because you have no idea where you're going to be picking next year.
And the whole David Mulugeta thing with being CJ's agent, I don't know. Like, that's the only problem if CJ Stroud's really good.
Right.
No one cares who Zach Wilson's agent is. Like, as long as he's good.
Is it his mom?
What?
Is it his mom?
I don't know. It might be
David
Mulugeta.
Famous mom. 713-780-3776 to call it, to text it. We wrap up the Paul Gallant Show. You got any thoughts on CJ Stroud, Will Anderson picks 2 and 3 after the big trade up for the Texans last night? Share them. It's the Most Interactive Sports Talk Show in Houston.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show with Paul Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring Paul Gallant, alongside special guest Paul Gallant. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The Texans took C.J. Stroud second overall last night. Then they traded up to the number 3 pick to take Alabama pass rusher Will Anderson. To trade up to that spot, they gave up their 12th pick this year, their 33rd pick this year, their first-round pick next year, not the Browns' first-round pick, which they still hold, and their third next year. They got a fourth-round pick in return for that number three pick where they took Will Anderson. 713-780-3776 to call or text into the most interactive sports talk show in Houston if you have a thought on what the Texans did last night. We've got JC up next. JC, yo.
All right, guys. So I have been on this prediction for weeks now saying that we should trade up. And I love the picks. And I don't have a problem with what we gave up, because if you go back and look at what San Fran gave up to move from 12 to 2 or 3 to get Trey Lance, they gave up more.
Good point.
So everyone's saying that this is a bad deal. I don't agree.
We don't know that it's a bad deal until these guys play. We don't. And I get some of the hesitation and skepticism, but I don't get acting like this is potentially a disaster. But 12 to 3. Find out all the ways it could be. You can text it too, 713-780-3776, or tweet at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes, at ESPN 97.5. So if we have the number two or number three pick next year, will this look like a good move? No, it won't. Can we ask questions that are intelligent? No offense to the texter. Obviously, it's going to look bad if they play poorly. The assumption that they are making is that they're not going to play poorly next year. Otherwise, would they make this trade? They clearly feel like they are closer to competition than we believe them to be. There were some people last year that thought the Texans could win maybe 6-7 games. Obviously, that didn't happen. Thanks, Davis Mills. Thanks, Pep Hamilton.
Just looking at where they're coming from, too, they can't, what, 4 wins? And you think that they upgraded their roster, right, Paul?
Yes.
You think they upgraded their coach with D'Amico Ryans, right?
Yes.
How are they going to get the number one pick next year? How are they going to be, like, it actually doesn't make sense how to be excited for the D'Amico. Okay, if you think the Texans gave up the number 3 or number 2 overall pick next year, then you also cannot be excited about D'Amico Ryans being the head coach. You have to think he's David Culley. You can't have both things in your head at once, that he's a great coach and he won't lift this team up higher, because it is a poorly coached team the last 2 years. And now you are, do you think D'Amico Ryans is just a poor of a coach, or do you think he's better? That's it. And he's going to have better players too.
There are better players already on the roster before they made these picks yesterday. They have more picks to make, and that's where they really got to hit. If they're going to become a Super Bowl contender someday, they're going to have to find some real steals, third, fourth round. They have two third-round picks. I think they have two fourth-round picks. Here's who they're playing this season at home. Find me the game they lose. Definitively. Where you're like, I would bet a ton of money on them to lose in this game. Cardinals. Cardinals are going to be the worst team in the league next year. Saints. Bucks. Broncos, Browns, Steelers, Colts, Jaguars, Titans. Steelers and Jaguars. Those are the only two I look at, and I think probably a loss. But I'm not going out of my way to say it's a loss. The Texans keep beating the Jaguars for whatever reason, although they did lose the last game last year. But
yeah, I think the Steelers, Jags, and Browns games are like coin flips. Every other game, it's
road games. Here are the road games. Colts, Titans.
Win.
Panthers, Falcons. It gets tricky with the Aaron Rodgers Jets, the Jaguars, the Bengals, and the Ravens.
Yeah, but honestly, the way that's split up, you actually prefer those games to be road games, because you probably have no chance of winning them home or away. So your home games are more winnable.
What we're trying to say here, Sean, is that...
What are we trying to say?
We are trying to say right now that...
10-7
we're not doing that. The odds of them having traded away potentially a top 10 pick, it's going to be like on the outside of the top 10, which is a lot, but I doubt that this is going to be the second or third or fourth or fifth pick in next year's draft. And think about it from this perspective. You can find somebody good at 10. Obviously, the Texans' best player in franchise history, J.J. Watt, was the 11th overall pick. You can find somebody there, but are you likely to? I don't care about the currency that they used to trade up and get Will Anderson. I think you all should be happy. I don't know why. I'm at the end of this show, I am frustrated. And maybe it's just battered Texans fan syndrome. But I am finding myself frustrated with a much, much louder, I guess, opposition to what was done last night than I would have expected. But anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. It's time for a little bit of garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
You know what's fun? Farts. Enter Inside the NBA, and good God, would you ever want to be in the same room as Shaquille O'Neal breaking wind?
Two, leading in Sacramento, 60-56. American Express halftime report. Studio J here in Atlanta. Ernie Johnson with Charles and Kenny and Shaq, who is trying to recover from. I'm not going to order that lasagna anymore. Yeah,
my boy Slice got me some bad lasagna. Are you kidding me?
Sorry about that.
You kidding me, man?
Why don't you just light a little fire over there?
No, oh, my God.
No, that's the last thing you want to do.
Come on, Slice.
Let's get to the American Express.
Hey, you need to go to the film room?
Nah, too late. I already went. I went right there in my seat. Oh, no. Just playing America.
Don't smell like it. I mean, what?
Didn't I already call for the American Express teammates?
Just playing America. I just wanted to make you laugh.
Hey, Clay's got 16. His
man. Silent but deadly lasagna farts. That's not what you want to be near. Poor Ernie Johnson. At least the table is socially distanced, so Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley are far enough away to escape the exhaust from Shaquille O'Neal's digestive system. Let's go to baseball. Hey, Astros-Phillies this weekend. We mentioned it. How about that? Baseball! It exists. The Astros are still very good. Hopefully they sweep them.
Good on the Astros for having draft day off.
They did. Thank God. There would have been a lot of people saying, hey, why aren't you talking about our kitty? Why aren't you talking about our kitty's struggles? Anyway, Marley Rivera is a former ESPN reporter. And she was fired from her job as a baseball reporter because she got mad at another lady journalist. Didn't sound so good.
Oh, what a excuse me, how you call me?
So the reporter that she's called a bleeping C-word is Yvonne Gaete, who is a freelance journalist and married to the vice president of MLB communications. So Marley Rivera, 13 years at ESPN, all came to a screeching halt because on camera, she was caught calling this person who was trying to get an interview with Aaron Judge a bleeping C word.
This is like it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not what you call a C word, it's who you call a C word. Because, yeah, calling the wife of the VP of MLB communications. Is that important for ESPN to have a good relationship with that person?
Probably. Oh. I would think so. I bet she had no idea, too. And who would? I mean,
yeah. Well, maybe.
It's kind of unfortunate for Marley Rivera. Maybe there is some sort of rivalry, but I doubt that she knew that this woman is married to the vice president of baseball communications.
By the way, Paul, I can totally see, not this exact language, but I can see you getting
in
trouble.
I'm nervous now.
Next time you're in a scrum.
Honestly, I'm going to remember this and keep my cool.
You don't know who that is? That's
no.
That's Bill Caserio.
I'm just going to bite my tongue and not call people the things that I call them when I'm getting road rage.
Yeah, you wait until you're in your car and then you...
I'm happy with what the Texans did last night. C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, they traded a lot to get Will Anderson, but you should be happy too. Bask in the afterglow and light that cigarette. It's a good day to be a football fan in Houston, Texas. Big thanks to our texters, our callers, and our Twitchers. The Killer Bees are up next. I don't think they liked the trade yesterday, but they'll also talk about the CJ Stroud pick as well. Don't go anywhere. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Peace!
This might be the worst day in Houston, Texas history. Man.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Healthcare is so overwhelming. My doctors rushed through visits. I was billed for things that should be covered, and no one was really listening. I felt lost. That's why I called Solace. They paired me with a trained healthcare advocate who actually knew how to get things done. She helped me find the right doctor, coordinate transportation after surgery, and overturn a medical bill. She even joined my appointments to make sure I got real answers. And the best part, it's covered by Medicare, and they stay with you for as long as you need help. My Solace advocate is always just a phone call or text away.
96% of patients report better care with a Solace advocate. That means better health outcomes, less stress, and finally feeling heard. See if you qualify at solacehealth.com. That's S-O-L-A-C-E health.com. Or call 888-7-SOLACE. 888-7-S-O-L-A-C-E. That's 888-7-SOLACE.
Don't face the healthcare system alone. Find Solace. Visit solacehealth.com today.